Hi, I'm Scott Hansman. It's another episode of Azure Friday. We're here with Bill Staples. So you're a CVP, that's a corporate vice president, and you're in, it's a big title. You're in charge of what? Like, what's the, like, you're my boss's, boss.
I don't think it's three bosses, right? Just two.
Bosses.
Maybe three.
Yeah. So what's your purvey? Like, what are you in charge of?
Okay, I'm responsible for the application platform here at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And that includes lots of our developer tooling, frameworks, and services that developers use to build applications. Mm-hmm. It spans everything from ASP.NET and Visual Studio to services like App Service and Redis Caching and Media Services. It also includes things like the Azure SDK, the Azure Portal, a lot of great technologies built here at Microsoft.
So building apps, building services, all the things that one would use to do that.
Correct.
So recently you were in, was it Spain?
Actually, I didn't go to Barcelona.
You didn't go?
No, I sent all the great team members that built Power Apps, but I wasn't there myself.
So there was a conference, it was called Convergence.
Yep.
And Power Apps was announced. People could go to powerapps.com and learn about that and watch videos from the announcements. And I even did a video on how Power Apps.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I thought it went really well. And the video that I did was Power Apps for the developer, because I think there's pro developers that have questions.
Right.
But let's up-level it and talk about kind of the problem space. Like, what problem was trying to be solved by Power Apps?
It's a great question. And I guess I'd start by asking you a question instead.
Okay.
How many apps do you have on your phone?
This phone is both my personal and work phone, probably like 50, maybe 54.
50 apps. Yeah. I think that's typical. Like, I was counting the apps on my phone the other day, and it was 50, 60 range. Mm-hmm. And I use my phone also for work and for, you know, my personal life. Mm-hmm. I don't have a separate phone. That's kind of awkward. Mm-hmm. I know some people do. But of those 50 phones, how many, or 50 apps, how many of them do you use for work?
I have an actual Microsoft group. I have maybe six or seven. You know, like, I've got Word and I've got Outlook and I've got an expense application.
Okay, so about 10% of your apps you use for work.
Yeah, maybe 10.
Okay, and how many of those are Microsoft specific? You know, help apps that Microsoft's given you to help get your work done.
So you say, when you say Microsoft, you don't mean like Word and Excel, but you mean like Microsoft, the company that I happen to work for.
Correct, right.
One of the apps came from Microsoft. It was the expense app. It's the one I take pictures of my receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good that you got that one installed. I haven't got
I had to do some kind of private certificate thing.
Exactly. We're getting to some of the problems now with Power Apps. So just to recap then, you got 50 something apps, only 10% of them you use for work, and 1% or less than 1% are actually specific to your job or the company you work
for. Corporate provisioned apps that were given to me by IT.
Right. And now think about why is that the case? Like, is it that apps aren't really useful for getting work done? Is that?
I think it's because it doesn't make sense for me to go into the app store for my phone and look for Aflac or whatever company that I work for. You know, if I work for Little Debbie Snack Cakes, why would Little Debbie Snack Cakes put the corporate IT expense reporting app in the public app store? And even if they did, they want to think about security and two-factor auth and federation and Active Directory and all the corporate-y stuff. They want to provision that app and control it.
I think that's one really important reason. The sort of the place you go to get your company apps is not typically the public app store. Mm-hmm. So we actually asked ourselves this question back at the beginning of Power Apps. We said, we've all experienced this explosion of apps in our personal lives that have, you know, really transformed sort of the way we use our phones. I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you probably had a phone that didn't have any apps on it, right?
And
you spent a lot of time, I know I spent a lot of time on my phone. And we've had this enormous explosion of apps in our consumer lives, and yet nothing's yet happened significant in our business lives to make work more productive. And we asked ourselves, why is that the case? And definitely the app store sort of friction comes into play. Mm-hmm. Like you say, the security around business applications and the data they need to access, there's no good way of enabling that without a lot of work and investment from both IT and from pro developers. Mm-hmm. We also got, as we talked to customers and sort of dug into the problem space a little more, we learned that, you know, back 10 years ago, it was common to have business apps, say either client server or web apps, that connected to SQL Server or Oracle Server in your company. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of business data was housed. Or maybe you purchased an ERP system like SAP, where your financials or your HR information was stored, and that again was backed by a SQL or an Oracle server storing the data. But nowadays, people have those systems still, mm-hmm. but a lot of business data is now spread across both the public cloud in SaaS services, everything from, say, Twitter, where your customers are giving you product sentiment information, mm-hmm. to Salesforce, where your CRM information might live, or if you use Workday for HR services, or Concur for travel, or the list goes on and on. There's lots of now commercial SaaS services that enterprises are adopting for companies to get work done, and their data is now there. Their data is also on-premise in SQL servers and Oracle servers and ERP systems. It's kind of everywhere. Mm. And the ability to connect to that data securely, and the ability to build apps in rich ways that can run on cross-platform devices. You know, I don't know if you have an iPhone or mm-hmm. an Android phone or a Windows phone. Here at Microsoft, we have all three mm-hmm. employees use, and to target all three of those platforms, to connect the data across clouds, to do it securely, is a really hard problem.
Yeah, as you're describing all those different systems, I'm kind of running through in my head like a typical workflow. And just literally 2 days ago, I was doing expense reporting, I had a bunch of receipts, and I was frustrated that the Concur trip manager thing yeah. didn't know. Like, it knew where I was, it knew all about my airline tickets and my hotel stuff. But it's not integrated with the expense reporting system at all. And that's not on my phone where all the pictures of my receipts are. Yeah. And to be totally honest with you, I spent about 90 minutes messing with expense reporting. And that could be very much streamlined if I had been doing the expense reporting as I traveled around on a mobile app that simply doesn't exist.
Isn't that incredible? Like 90 minutes, and we pay you pretty well, I think, Scott. Like 90 minutes, that's a lot of time and a lot of expense.
I felt a little bad about it.
It could be as easy as... You know, why isn't it as easy as any of your consumer app experiences?
Right.
It's where you can just take a photo of the receipt, you know, plug in any data, hit submit, and it doesn't matter if you're on the corporate network or at your home or on the road, it should just work, right?
And that's an interesting point. You said on the corporate network. So there's, you know, there's the distribution of the apps, there's the security of the apps, but then there's the, am I VPNing in on my phone, or, you know, can I get to these things on the open internet in a secure way?
Because most people's phones aren't connected to the corporate network. Because they're also their personal devices. And who wants to, you know, add all those private certificates and have IT control your phone mm-hmm. When you're using it for your personal life as well? And so this is the problem space that we're trying to tackle with Power Apps, is mm-hmm. how can we bridge that gap between the explosion of apps in our consumer lives and the dearth of apps in our business lives and our business productivity? And how can we arm a broad set of users with the tools and services they need mm-hmm. to create that explosion of business apps? And so the Power Apps is both for pro developers to give them the tools and services, again, that they can make them more productive in creating these experiences, as well as a new class of app creators and business users.
Mm-hmm. So business users, they should be able to make apps, because I feel like they've been making apps, right? But they make apps in whatever tool that they can find, right? They make it in Excel, or they make it in Word.
Yeah.
It's so funny how hard it is just to make a form
that
someone can fill out and submit to a back-end database.
Or good old Access, mm-hmm. Or SharePoint Designer. You know, in the day, those tools were awesome at sort of creating simple apps with bound to data that was usually local again, and allowed a business user to be pretty productive in capturing information and maybe creating reports or sharing it around the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we're after that same kind of experience with Power Apps for business users, but in a modern way, mm-hmm. meaning they can connect to any data that's interesting to them, from the SaaS data that I talked about earlier, or even on-premise systems, and they can craft an experience then that can run on any device, whether that's your iPhone, Android phone, Windows phone, or Windows desktop system. And, of course, in the browser, on any device.
Uh-huh. So these SaaS systems that I want to talk to, they might be Office 365, it could be Dropbox, it could be anywhere.
Right.
And I authenticate against that in a way that is secure, mm-hmm. and I do that on my phone. And once that connection has been set up, that can be managed by IT. But also you mentioned that it's not just for business developers, it's also for the pro developers. I assume that I can make my own services, put them into some kind of a gallery or a marketplace, and mm-hmm. make those available to other people?
Yeah, you remember from App Service launch earlier this year, we provide the ability to create APIs, mm-hmm. and we provided out-of-box connectors to a lot of the both consumer and commercial SaaS systems out there. So pro developers with App Service already have a lot of the great connectivity capabilities through that we provide through App Service that lets them create native mobile and web apps and connect to any system, both on-prem and in the cloud, mm-hmm. and then create those experiences. What we've done with Power Apps is sort of taken it a next level. We've actually created a SaaS service for creating apps. It's a completely, free, easy to get started service that both business users and developers can come and join and instantly connect to any of the data that's useful for them and then create experiences and share them in the cloud.
So the sharing part is interesting as well, because right now publishing an app into a public app store is a hassle and
right.
updates suck and it's just a bad experience. Mm-hmm. But I can go into PowerPoint, make a PowerPoint, email it to you like that. Can I share an app as easily as I can share a
yeah.
document?
That was our goal, to actually make app sharing as easy as sharing a document. So in fact, with the service, one of the things it facilitates is you just type in the email address of your colleague here at work, and instantly the service makes that app available securely to them. When they connect to the data that you've built the app around, they connect using their credentials so that the data security is completely intact, and they connect to that data and use the app experience that I built or you built.
Oh, interesting. So if I emailed it to someone at work that maybe didn't have access,
yeah.
that's handled.
Yeah, they get an invitation to use the service. Mm-hmm. And they sign up with their corporate identity, and then they connect to the data using their credentials and use the app experience just like it was, a PowerPoint document or Word document.
So where do people start? Where do I go and learn about this? I know we have a whole bunch of videos and a lot of content around educating people around how to use Power Apps.
Yeah, so powerapps.com is the website for the service. Mm-hmm. You can learn more kind of the high-level marketing material there. There's also some product resources for those business users looking to learn about the new tooling experience that we're providing for connecting to data and creating the experience itself. There's also a ton of content on Channel 9, actually, mm-hmm. for pro developers, thanks to you and some other members of the team that have explained sort of how to create those APIs and build native web and mobile experiences as well that can kind of share the same underlying platform.
Yeah, we took some real apps and some real problems, some theoretical, but actually I went and found an app that I wrote 10 years ago and built an experience around it. I took a legacy app and I made it available as an API. I put it in an app service environment and then published it out. We built both a Power Apps application and then we went and built a native application with Xamarin, all connecting to that same data, all within the course of about 40 minutes.
Wow, that's
very
impressive.
Very cool. Yeah, it was fun. Cool. So thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Happy to do it.
We're learning all about Power Apps here on Azure Friday. Go to powerapps.com and learn even more.